From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdoğan has declared victory in a referendum held Sunday, granting him sweeping new powers.
Bugün Türkiye 200 yıllık
Mr. Erdoğan, speaking Sunday in Istanbul, said Turkey has taken a historic decision. He said 25 million people supported the plan to replace the country's parliamentary system with a powerful presidency with just over 51%. The no side appeared to prevail in major urban areas and the pro-Kurdish southeast.
Eşit olmayan koşullarda
the leader of the opposition CHP, or Republican People's Party, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, insisted the referendum was held under unfair circumstances. He said his party would demand a partial recount, insisting Mr. Erdoğan wants a one-man regime. Analyst Gareth Jenkins, who's lived in Turkey since 1989, said he had never seen an election before where so much pressure was on the other side.
Restrictions on campaigning. Of course, a lot of people have been put in prison. A lot of others have come under intense pressure. What we've seen, even with all of this, the president has only just scraped across the 50%.
The package of 18 amendments abolishes the office of prime minister and gives the president authority to draft a budget, declare a state of emergency, and issue decrees. Former South Korean President Park Geun-hye has been indicted on bribery charges over a corruption case last year that led to her downfall. The probe has also implicated Lotte Group chairman Shin Dong-bin and Samsung Group chief J.Y. Lee. The 65-year-old Park has also been charged with abuse of power and coercion by pressuring big businesses to contribute to nonprofits. Park, who was denied wrongdoing, was arrested last month and is confined to a detention facility. This is VOA News. Vice President Mike Pence Monday visited the Demilitarized Zone, or DMZ, separating North and South Korea. The visit comes just a day after the North's latest ballistic missile launch failed.
And we express the resolve of the people of the United States of America to stand together in the months and years ahead with the people of South Korea to both preserve their freedom and ensure the objective of a denuclearized Korean Peninsula.
Appearing on the ABC program this week, Sunday, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster indicated a newfound cooperation with China to curb Pyongyang's missile and nuclear ambitions.
Well, this latest missile test, it just fits into a pattern of provocative and destabilizing and threatening behavior on the part of the North Korean regime. And I think there's an international consensus now, including the Chinese and the Chinese leadership, that this is a situation that just can't continue.
McMaster said the U.S. is working with its allies and partners, as well as the Chinese leadership, to develop a range of options short of a military response. An Egyptian court Sunday acquitted an Egyptian-American woman and seven others after nearly 3 years' detention on human rights trafficking charges related to her foundation that helped Cairo's street children. They were arrested May 2014, charged with human trafficking, sexual exploitation of children, and using children in anti-government protests. Rights groups and several U.S. lawmakers had called for Aya Hijazi's release. The death toll from Saturday's reported suicide bombing at a bus convoy near the Syrian city Aleppo has risen above 120, including dozens of children. The blast hitting buses carrying Shia residents as they waited to cross from rebel to government territory in an evacuation agreement. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but Syria analyst Stephen Zunis of the University of San Francisco said radical groups are known to operate in the area.
Rebel groups that have been fighting in the area have primarily been Al-Sharm and a group called the Organization for the Liberation of Syria, a new name of a coalition that was formerly known as Al-Nusra. Both of these are hardline Islamists, or their broader coalitions include some very hardline Islamists, including those connected with Al-Qaeda.
Those killed mostly residents of two pro-government villages, Al-Fua and Kafraya, in Idlib province. The four top candidates in the French presidential contest have begun a final push for votes. Ahead of next Sunday's first-round ballot, two of 11 candidates with the most votes will proceed to the May 7 second round. Sunday marked the 10th anniversary of a mass shooting at Virginia Tech University, in which a mentally ill student gunned down 32 people. Thousands took part in a memorial service. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.